He is DJ Schweitzer. I am Jeremy Lance. Hey, we actually have football to talk about.
Yeah, that's right.
Yay.
Last week, we kind of bullshitted our way through this.
Yeah, like, this is going to happen.
It's going to be here soon.
That's when you always, like, I feel like, and we say this often, that we're terrible pundits when it comes to just being experts. But, I mean, most, I guess, are that way.
Yeah.
But I think that first episode every season is, like, us really just pushing the limits of us trying to be pundits.
Trying to be actual pundits, yeah. It's like we always joke about, like
prognosticating, and they're like, oh, well, I think this was a great move, because probably all
piece
crap.
It together. Well, I just know that I have plenty of it in today as well.
Oh,
so,
sweet.
Yeah, there's hot takes still abound.
Hot takery is what we're all about here.
Absolutely. But it's good to have actually had some football. I don't know about you, but it was just really enjoyable to get back into this thing.
Dude, I got so excited that the season started. I went out and hung out with a bunch of gooners and watched the Arsenal match on Friday. Because I just couldn't wait. I couldn't wait.
Could you need to get in it.
And I was like, there's a match right now.
Yeah, well, you got a match. And it turned out to be an enjoyable one.
Yeah.
Even if you're not a gooner.
Right.
It was something to feast upon. And we're going to talk about, we actually had a great weekend of opening action in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of good stuff to talk about. And we'll get into
all good.
Mostly good.
Thanks. So.
I don't know.
Didn't go good for everybody.
Well, I'm just going to say what didn't go well for you went really well for me.
Well, that's...
We'll get there as well. We'll get there as well.
Misery is everyone else's just...
Joy.
Just
unbridled.
Lap around the sun.
Unbridled. But we are back for episode 2 of season 5. It is just you and me again. And we're going to be chatting through everything that unfolded in the Premier League this weekend, or most things anyway. We'll also spend a little bit of time on domestic action for the first time this year.
Hey, yeah, that's not back. That's been going on this whole time.
It's always there. And then we're also going to talk about kits. We talked last week about how we always talk on the second episode of the season.
Got to see him out there.
About kits. So we've seen him in the flesh.
In action.
In action, on the pitch. So we'll give our kind of opinions on what we think the top ones are. And then we actually asked you guys in the question of the week what you thought the worst ones were. So we'll get both sides of that equation on the threads front. But before we do all that, we're going to start where we normally start, with misery that is fantasy.
Yay.
So the Premier League is back.
Yes, it is.
And that means that we've actually had a first week of action in the fantasy league.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I continue to suck. So there are 137 entrants into this year's league, which is a solid number. Thanks to all of you who have joined up.
About where we've been at most years. Yeah.
I know that all of you join for the distinction of hopefully getting your name read on this portion of the podcast. That's literally the only reason anyone does it, I think.
Yep.
Because it's real high profile. It's like
we're not offering any other prizes. So.
That's right. It is the 15 seconds of fame that you get from our piddly little podcast.
Bragging rights.
It's almost like
who are you bragging to? I don't know.
Someone. But it's like bragging about being on the big screen at the Reds game or any particular sporting event. So, yeah.
You ever been on the Jumbotron at the Reds game? Or
not at
the
Reds
like
game. Of course, that's like the pro sports games that I've probably been to the most to over the years. Hundreds of Reds games. And crew games are probably pretty close, I would wager. But the only time I've actually been on the Jumbotron was actually at a Pistons game. Like 25 years ago.
So just young DJ.
Young DJ. To be honest, I don't think
mugging
I even noticed it.
Oh, you weren't hamming it up.
I think I waved. I think my dad was like, wave, and then it was done.
About four or five years ago, I was in Milwaukee visiting my parents.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a Brewers game, and our section got selected for like, hey, the fans in this section go crazy, and you can win a pizza.
Oh, yeah.
So I just stood up and was like, hey! And like, apparently, I don't know why, but they apparently chose a row with like me, my dad, my brother, and then a bunch of like octogenarians that were like just barely hanging on.
All right.
So they weren't getting up.
Nope.
My dad is above most things, so he's not going to do
it. He's not. That's a very dad thing.
My older brother, he did. I don't know.
Yeah.
He can explain himself. He's going to listen to this. He can explain himself why he didn't stand up then.
If he's going to do us a favor here, I hope he sends in a recorded bit so that way plug it in.
And so I kind of just stood up. I was just like, yeah, and I just clapped and stuff. And I was on the Jumbotron. And then they handed me this giant fake pizza box.
Oh, there's not even a giant pizza in
there? And then I had to go to and then they were like, yeah, you win. And I was like, sweet. And so then the camera cuts away. Yeah, innings back on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy was like, grabbed the pizza box from me and just handed me this voucher. It was like, the pizzas were not vouchers for something at the stadium. It was a voucher for frozen pizza that we had to buy at the store.
Congratulations, you won a DiGiorno.
You won a coupon.
Oh, man, that's a really big letdown.
Yeah. And then like they were like specific pizzas to like the grocery stores in Milwaukee. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, here, Dad. Next time you go grocery shopping, get some pizzas.
I mean, I guess he probably enjoyed that at bare minimum. Yeah. But that's really a letdown.
Yeah.
It's a big letdown. So is that your only experience on the Jumbotron?
That I can recall.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I think so.
I'm sorry. I'm sure I've probably been like at an FC Cincinnati game because I'm milling about down on the field. Probably just wandered through a shot. Like I can't.
I've wandered through TV shots plenty of times.
Yeah.
When the Reds won in 2010, my dumb mug was wandering around the clubhouse with champagne all over me.
There's your 15
seconds. Yeah, Jumbotrons.
They make people do weird things.
Like literally, that was probably the edge of my comfort zone of what I did of standing up and clapping and going yay, and luckily I had zero competition. Like it was all like old people that no one else cared about it,
and your indifferent family members
and my very indifferent father.
Excellent. Well, hopefully you guys take as much pride in getting your name shouted out during the fantasy aspect of our podcast.
So congratulations to this person
who will not be getting a pizza as well. That person is, I'm going to butcher the name, Sheryar Khan, S-H-E-H-R-Y-A-R.
Wait, I'm going to take a run. I'm going to take a run at this.
Sheryar? I apologize. Either way, the name of the team is much easier to pronounce. It's Cinderfellas, sitting on top of the heap. After week one, I am in 101st place.
That is not what you want to do.
Nope. And it's exactly how all the starts go for me. And you're in 106th. So
I dropped big today.
Just edged in there.
I was doing good at the beginning of the weekend because I had Lacazette
mm-hmm.
as captain. So that rode me to about midway through Saturday.
Yeah, I was going to say, then it all fell apart. Over in the MLS League, you and I continue to suck. Both of us stayed at 48 and 57, so no change from last week. And still on top of that heap is Designated Failures by Derek Friedman. Two shows running, so
way to be.
No change on that front. So let's get into the Premier League action.
And let's start with the most fun story of them all. Chelsea is a disaster.
Yeah. I'll be honest, the timing couldn't be better for Spurs, given we'll be playing you next week.
Oh, we'll get to what that possibly is going to look like here in a second.
Okay.
So it was a 3-2 loss to Burnley
at home. To open the season.
At home to open the title defense. Cahill sees red early in this match.
Yeah.
Early in this match. It was actually the second card shown mm-hmm. at that point, which was somewhat shocking that there was... I'm pretty sure. Like a yellow show in like the first 5 minutes to Chelsea.
Yeah, and it was a Chelsea one as well.
Yeah, it was Alonso, I think.
Was it Alonso or was it Cesc? I know he had a...
Cesc, no, I think he had matching descent penalty, descent cards that saw him eventually leave.
That is the typical yellow card that Cesc Fabregas ends up with, is an angry Spaniard getting a card for yelling in Spanish.
I think it was sarcastic clapping, I believe is what one of them was.
Mm, that's good too. Always the best type of card to earn.
Hey, good job. Hey. Way to be, ref.
Unfortunately, it wasn't just two settings off that you had to deal with. There were three goals coming from Burnley. By the way, a team that they only won like one game on the road last season.
Yeah. Sparta matched that total.
Good for them.
Yeah. Yes.
So I have a question that I wrote down here that I want you to try to at least attempt to answer. Is it truly a thin squad issue, or is there something like really deep that's being dealt with and not really publicly out there?
Thin squad.
You think that's all it is?
We'll get to that in a second.
All right. Fair enough.
So we were without Eden Hazard, mm-hmm. Bakayoko, though, because I was still trying to get fit mm-hmm. for the season. Hazard had a horrific leg injury, during, I believe, like literally day one of practice.
Yeah, I remember that.
With the Belgian national team.
Mm-hmm.
Bakayoko just kind of behind on getting fitness level. He had a little leg injury also that's a problem. I think he had surgery early in the season, early in the summer. We had no Victor Moses, because if you remember correctly, he was sent off in the FA Cup final.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so that carried all the way over to this match.
Mm-hmm.
So we were thin.
Yeah.
And Gary Cahill going off made us thinner. Yep.
Yeah.
So we had Anders Christensen came in. I think he walked in and was like, hey, remember me, guys? I've been on loan for 5 years.
I'm sorry, who is this?
He has actually been a starter for Mönchengladbach, I believe, for at least past two seasons.
Huh.
Central defender. Pretty good player, actually. Hopefully he stays around. I think he's going to have to. Our bench, I don't know if you got a look at it.
I did.
I don't know. Did you see my tweet about it?
Yeah.
Caballero, five warm bodies, and Morata.
Yeah.
Who's technically not fit yet. But so, for not fit, he actually did look pretty good when he came on.
Yeah, I mean,
that was like the one bright spot. I was like, wow, Morata came on. He looked good. He scored a goal.
For a guy who's not supposedly fit yet, right. Like that's a good sign.
He was running all over the joint.
All right.
That was literally the only good thing. Let's move on to the fact that they are now going to move into a match with your fellas next week. The 1-2 matchup from last year.
Mm-hmm.
All those guys I said that were injured, still injured.
Going to be injured.
Yeah. Pedro was also injured. He had to pick up like an ankle injury or something. He might be okay. We now don't have Cesc Fabregas because he got sent off.
Good.
We also don't have Gary Cahill because
he got sent off. Mm.
We don't have another midfielder that actually plays in the center of the pitch. Mm. I mean, we kind of do, but we don't. Because the only one on the roster right now is Kyle Scott, the alleged U.S. Youth International.
So, I mean, do you think he'll legitimately get in the match?
Either that or, we're recording Sunday night. In the next 12 hours, a panic buy for Danny Drinkwater goes through.
And he's not fit right now as well. No. He didn't play this weekend.
Well, not fit.
Well.
Not fit like a lot of guys. There was a lot of guys not fit this week.
They were actually just being punished for being one away.
Yeah, their wallet was sprained.
Yes.
I think hopefully that was the case. But yeah, we literally might have to start a member of the 2015 U.S. U-20 team against Spurs next week.
You say that like that's a problem.
It is a large problem, actually.
Okay, yeah.
We also don't have our captain because he got sent off.
If only you hadn't gotten rid of John Terry.
We did, and Aston Villa got beat 3-0 this week.
So it seems like maybe it was a good idea to get rid of Terry.
Yeah. Time and go.
Could have been worse.
I don't know if you saw last year. He didn't see the field.
Yeah, I did see that.
He actually spent most of the time during the season in Portugal getting his UEFA training in.
I mean, hey, spend your time how you can.
Yeah. That's been Chelsea's week. Can't wait.
We're not giving a whole lot of love to Burnley here. As I mentioned earlier, I think they only had two away wins. I think it was one or two away wins all of last season. They didn't get their first one until I want to say April or something ridiculous like that.
They rose to the challenge. The challenge being, can you beat just a wounded animal?
And that animal was wounded indeed.
A three-legged dog wandering on the pitch. Can you beat him?
But that's a wonderful start for them. It's something you probably imagine they see as a bit of a springboard for the season. They did really well at home last year. I think that's where they found most of their success, obviously. Managed to stay up, just escape the drop. And this is the type of thing that you can use to motivate your guys to say, look, we can do this. No, we're probably going to get the benefit of having two red cards against the other side every time out. But
we didn't manage to score a goal with 9 men.
So, I mean, the fact that they've done that is a really good sign, I think, for a club that is in real risk of potentially going back down.
Or they've already peaked.
Yeah, that's another way. I'm sure. Like, you're hoping this is your low point of the season.
This is their high point?
Yeah. Contrast.
Yeah, let's move on to, though, we did have two matches start things off Friday night, Friday afternoon.
For us, yeah.
Arsenal playing Leicester, and then the early morning match on Saturday, Liverpool at Watford. 13 goals across the two matches.
I mean, as far as like the one, that has to be a record. Like, I can't imagine it's not a record. I'm sure Opta probably tweeted something about that. But I don't know that we've ever had like a more entertaining start to a Premier League season. That Leicester-Arsenal match was just breathtaking. Like, as a neutral,
it was a really good match.
It was fantastic to watch. You know, you see a guy scoring on his debut in the second minute of the game. You're seeing, Leicester kind of springing back to old Leicester form, like looking really dangerous on the counter. Although I think there's still a lot of problems on the defensive end of the pitch for them. But regardless of how you look at those two situations, that was so much fun. Like, I obviously was rooting for Leicester as a fan of not Arsenal, and that they blew it kind of sucked. But at the same time, like, that was the perfect neutrals game. Like, if you're trying to convince people, like, hey, try out the Premier League, there's no better audition for that than what that unfolded. Went well. So
these are the matches that we wish were the nationally broadcasted NBC matches.
Yeah.
Because those end up oftentimes being duds. And you're like, this is our best chance for people to just casually stroll onto this match and possibly watch it and like
be like, oh, dang. Like,
this actually was fun.
Yeah. But let's talk a little bit about that Arsenal-Leicester match. Arsenal end up 4-3 winners in the Barnburner League opener. Lacazette, as we mentioned, scored on his debut.
I think it was second or third minute. It was early. Hadn't even left to head to the bar at that point.
I was watching it on my laptop at work, but at the same time, as far as goals that you concede, Leicester, you never want to concede in the second or third minute of the match to begin with, but you're not going to find an easier debut goal for a player. He literally did not even jump. He just stood and was celebrating before the goal even was a goal.
Yeah.
But love the movement that I saw out of Lacazette. As a guy who's a Tottenham fan, you kind of fear players like that coming into the team. He's crafty. He's quick. What I really like about him, as opposed to Giroud, as forwards go, is he's just the type of guy who turns every time. Like, he's always trying to turn the defender, whereas Giroud likes to back guys down. He likes to play this back to goal. He's going to work it around as opposed to trying to take it on his own. So, fun player to watch. Obviously, he came from Lyon, where he lit up the French league over the last few years. And everyone kind of expected him to be fun, but it's often difficult to replicate that in England when you come over. And he's certainly hit the ground running.
Yeah, I think my hope for him being a Golden Boot winner is I think he's going to have a great season.
Yeah.
And I think Arsenal are do I envy them right now. As far as having a striker coming in that looks like he's just going to tear things up.
I mean,
don't feel that way about Morata.
Well, I'm sorry.
Diego Costa is a fat guy, apparently. Yeah.
Well,
who's seeking legal action against us
for being fat?
That might be part of it.
You guys have made me fat. You've made me self-conscious.
I'm eating my emotions over here in Brazil.
Let me go. I do think, though, like, Arsenal are clearly going to be a team. They're going to score goals this year. I think we've seen that plain and simple. But the issues that were there for them last year and, like, the last decade are clearly still there.
You mean that back line being a complete sieve?
Not just the back line, but their midfield even. It's that it starts with their defensive midfield. They, granted, Xhaka is a great defensive player in some respects, but really pisses the ball away in so many circumstances. I think it was the second goal that Leicester ended up scoring was directly off a Xhaka giveaway. And I think they attacked down the left flank and they crossed in and Vardy finished. Those areas on top of their defense just being a train wreck, and they've not really bought anything to reinforce it outside of the new guy that they brought in on the left, whose name is evading me at the moment.
The big
truck of a human being.
Tank human.
Yeah. Just a really, really big guy. And looks like he could be quite the signing for him, even though I can't remember his name. So
Tanky Joe.
Tanky Joe, Arsenal guy. But I do think, like, the giveaways in their midfield and the porous back line that they still have is going to be their crutch. And it's going to boil down to, can Arsenal outgun all the teams that they face? That's a really risky strategy. And
could they? Yeah. They had the firepower, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
They would definitely have the firepower if one of those faux injuries leaves the director's box that he was hanging out. Which that was – I pointed this out. Alexis Sanchez hanging out in the director's box instead of like – is that normal? I know at Chelsea, when you're injured or whatever, you sit like
– kind of behind the bench.
Kind of behind the bench.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know if it was just – protocols differ in other stadiums, but that just seemed slightly off.
So I think it is different club by club. A lot of it bears to mind, like, do you have the room to even be able to do that? Like,
are you cheapskates and are trying to sell those seats right there?
Potentially that, but, you know, like, at least in the case of Spurs, prior to moving out of White Hart Lane, there's literally not the space to do it. Like,
right.
The benches are, like, literally in the crowd. And
where the new place, they'll have, like, Barca loungers to just chill out on while
absolutely
getting on the men's.
Luxury side. but, no, I think it is a little bit different club by club. I know, like, at least for some MLS teams, like, they do similar types of things. Some guys sit near the bench. Other guys will sit up in the box. It really just depends on.
I mean, there was that one time Costa was hurt, and he, like, literally went and bought, like, scalper seats and, like, sat in, like, the rafters with, like, a bunch of fans.
Not doing that now.
No.
Can't fit in the seats, apparently.
Might be the only – yeah, well, that's true. Might be the only seats he's getting these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's early on everything, but it's I think Arsenal's got the firepower, but it's just the consistency, and that's always been a thing every year.
Absolutely,
their consistency in everything.
Yeah. Real quickly on Leicester, a little bit looked like the old Leicester side that won the title a couple of years ago. Yeah.
I mean, took the lead twice in this match,
mm-hmm. And really could have had it all sealed up if they just adjusted the way they play a little bit. And you admire them. Like, they're always that run-and-gun team. Yeah.
You saw that equalizer coming, though.
Yeah, absolutely. But you kind of want them to just, like, hey, guys, bunker. Like, you don't need to counter every time. Like, bunker. And I think it's just their strategy is we will defend with offense, and we'll keep you on your toes and make sure you're
Vardy,
tired.
Jamie Vardy's keep running.
Yeah, Jamie Vardy with two goals in this match. So, back on track to get another package of chips named after him, maybe?
Yeah. Hopefully we can actually get our hands on these this time.
Yeah.
That was a real miss for us.
I really did want to eat chips that were salted from Jamie Vardy's own sweat.
Delightful.
Yeah.
Let's move over to Liverpool. Not as exciting of a result for them as they settle for a draw. Another one where they claw back into this one. They go down 2-1, claw back in, score two goals, just boom, boom, to make it a 3-2 match. This has been fun. We got to see Mohamed Salah play amazingly. I hate seeing him play for them.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Yeah, he did look great, too. Earned a penalty and then ultimately scored the third goal for Liverpool as well. So, great debut for him. Liverpool, a lot like Arsenal, though. They're clearly going to score goals.
Yep.
But can they outgun everyone? And it's the exact same issues for them, just like it was for Arsenal last year. Their defense is porous, and they have a crap goalkeeper, which is a slightly different situation.
Yeah, Mingley, crap goalkeeper. Yeah, I think I mentioned this last week. Karius is actually hopefully going to stay healthy to possibly challenge for this role. I mean, does this go back to, like, they say here in America with quarterbacks, if you have two quarterbacks, you have zero quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, you need to have a starter and a backup. If you have two guys that are just good enough to continually toggle back and forth, you really don't have
it. Yeah, really don't have any consistency there. And I think that's the issue that they're going to face again this season. Two goals. I don't want to say he's directly responsible for, but
third one was a bit of a house fire.
Yeah, but he kind of caught it on the chest on their first goal as well. So it's just it is a serious concern from them, and I think a lot of Liverpool fans are placing a bunch of hope on the opportunity of potentially signing Virgil van Dijk from Southampton, who has supposedly handed in a transfer request.
Chelsea's about ready to drop a 50 million pound
bid to steal him away.
On that one right now.
That was
the report I just saw as I got here.
Oh, interesting. I would be in favor of that, if only because it would be like – I always say that I view – Liverpool is a more direct competitor for Spurs as far as, like, place in the league goes. Although this year, maybe I should be saying Chelsea would be where we're aiming for. But
right now, I think we're challenging Everton for a Europa spot is what we're hoping for at this moment.
But it's just, Liverpool have the firepower. Mane again looked fantastic. Firmino set up a couple things as well. They're not going to really struggle for Coutinho, but he is going to lose them points if he leaves. Like, those points will just literally and exit the country with
him. And I have a feeling he's going to leave late enough to where they're not going to be able to – they have to wait till January to spend any of that crazy cash they're going to get for him.
Most likely. And you know those American owners are not going to be spending it ahead of time.
Nope.
But Watford, a little credit to them as well, looking a bit of a threat. Mm-hmm. No Troy Deeney?
No. Don't need him.
I mean, that's what's crazy about it. A Watford side scoring three goals on this Liverpool team, clawing back that point right at the very end with, again, a little bit of help from Mignolet's really odd saving ability on this match.
It is a suspect goal. I'd give you that. I mean, it's possible offside, possible, you know, interfering with the keeper.
Mm-hmm. But it was lead changes. Like, in the Arsenal game, that was what was exciting about it. And then this particular match as well. Like, it was just back and forth. And it was like a gunslinging competition. And everyone was trying to just shoot their way towards it. And it was awesome start. Like, really, really awesome. And then we got into the meat of Saturday and things got a little bit more Premier League-y, where we had some zeros and stuff like that. But, it was just a great start.
Let's talk about two teams that look pretty fantastic out the gate, expected to have good seasons. They delivered. We'll start with your guys, Spurs, 2-0 winners against 10-man Newcastle. Didn't really look challenged really at any point in that match.
No, the stat that really stood out to me was Spurs ended up with, I think, 73% of the possession.
Yeah.
Like, that is a staggering number for the Premier League. Like, this is we had these first two games and all the hot takes on Twitter were like, best league on the planet. Like, maybe most entertaining league on the planet.
But isn't that best?
Yes. Depends on how you want to define that type of thing. But the play for a team that's newly promoted in Newcastle, I know that they're coming up and, you know, they don't necessarily have that thick of a squad as well. You know, you talk about people who are thin in the way that Chelsea are. I think Newcastle aren't too far behind them. That is just a staggering amount of possession that you're giving up there at home. I mean, that's the thing you have to keep in mind. St. James's Park used to be a feared, revered place to go, and they looked flaccid. Now, they kept Spurs at bay for a large portion of the match, but it was just kind of – I don't want to say – I don't, like, have any feelings for them, but I felt embarrassed for them and their fans. Especially because immediately before the game, Mike Ashley had given an interview on Friday where he basically talked about why he can't spend money on the team. So it was like, I'm awesome. A billionaire, but I'd have to liquidate shares of my company in order to be able to do it. And all the fans are kind of like, is that supposed to convince me that that's okay? But, I really enjoy the match as far as Spurs go. It's a great way to start the season, getting a bit of a revenge, considering the last time we played them, they literally knocked us out of Champions League places.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that went really well for you guys that last time.
No, it didn't.
Manchester United demolishing West Ham 4-0. Lukaku with the brace. Let's talk about him real quickly. Interesting. Lacazette, Morata, Lukaku, the three big money strikers brought in to new clubs this season, all scoring on their debut.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty odd stat in its own right.
Yeah.
I do think, you know, Pogba finally is looking a little bit the player that we all expected him to be when he first arrived.
Good.
From Juventus. Yeah. I mean, not that he didn't have his moments last year, but he was not anywhere near consistent enough for most people's likings. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Matic, I mean, let's talk about a guy who left Chelsea, played really, really well in this match.
Yep.
And he's doing what they need him to do in order for Pogba to be a better player. By him coming in and sitting in front of that back four and protecting things a little bit, it gives Pogba the opportunity to move
Freeze
forward.
Him up. Yeah.
And now he can actually get into the attack and be involved in the way that we all know he can be. So,
really awesome that that happened. And Matic is there.
Sorry, guy.
I mean, it's honestly, if you think about it, it is unthinkable that the Chelsea board thought this was good. This was a good move.
Letting Mourinho have him?
I would have gave, like, Juventus was also kind of interested. I would have let them have Matic for pennies on the dollar instead of letting United overpay for him. Well, I don't care if they overpaid for him, because whatever money you would have got extra, is not going to erase the fact that you've now created a monster at one of your rivals.
Yeah. As you mentioned, Pogba interacting really well with Lukaku. Just think of the size of those two in your spine. Like, mm-hmm. And Matic is a big guy as well.
Yeah.
You know, Bali that they brought in as well. Big hulking guys. Just there's a really big, strong presence in the side. And now United are finally looking a bit more like a Mourinho side.
And yet it was Blind who got caught for doping.
Well, go figure.
He's trying to keep up.
Hey, everyone's got to do what they can. The other thing, talking about people who are making their debuts, Chicharito, one of your favorites.
Yeah, it didn't go well. That sucked.
Didn't go well for him in that respect, but he did get a nice reception from the Old Trafford crowd. Like, I always enjoy seeing guys who were revered by their clubs come back and in a new jersey and still getting the love. Whereas, like, with Spurs and Sissoko, who was mysteriously starting in this match, getting booed every time he touches the ball. Which, to me, it's kind of like, you guys all should have been clapping because you got $30 million for him. I don't know really how you don't think that was a swindling. But yeah, I think United looked fantastic. All the talk about this match beforehand was like, Mourinho always wins in his second year. And of course, that's like the old adage.
Sure.
It's true. And this is the type of start you see where you go, that seems pretty realistic.
Yeah, they didn't just look like, hey, yeah, they played really well. Like, they just had a swagger to them.
Yeah.
There was a swagger to them that's like, yeah, these guys know that they're probably got what it takes to just take this thing.
Yeah. So, good for United, bad for everyone else in that respect as Jose picks up some steam. Let's talk a little bit about the other action that happened across the league.
Where would you like to start?
I think we have to start with Everton.
Okay, let's start with Everton. How'd that go?
I mean, very poetic, I feel like.
Oh.
I'm sorry. How does that not tug at your heartstrings a little bit, right? Like, Rooney... I saw a stat. There's the longest period in between appearances for a player in a Premier League side coming back and returning to a club.
When he came out, like, did that Dido song play when he was going?
I hope so.
Hopefully it was the Diddy version.
But getting on the score sheet in his return home to his childhood club, I mean, it's just a really cool story. Like, the guy's gone through some hell a little bit over the last season or so. Drop in form.
Fat.
Gained weight. Getting old. It's
hair
tough.
System is even starting to fail him.
You really feel for him.
I mean, spend all that money on a hair system.
You think that should fix
it forever.
Things can
last you more than like 4 years.
Not necessarily. So hopefully we get to see another cut on his head here sometime soon. But I thought that was really cool as they get the 1-0 win over Stoke. It was a really cool story.
Cool.
Yeah.
How about Huddersfield?
That was the next place I was going to go as well.
3-0 winners over Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace, a team that we thought was going to be looking good. You know, they made a lot of good loan moves. Actually, a lot of loan moves.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, they really just... They look terrible.
Picked right back up at the Palace location in the way that they've...
Benteke was worthless.
Yeah, they didn't look very good at all.
Jason Punchin, trash.
Yeah, Townsend didn't look very good either. I mean,
Joel Ward scored a goal for Huddersfield.
Yeah. With the 3-0 win, though, for Huddersfield, their first win ever in the Premier League, by the way, which is also really cool. But with that goal differential of 3, at least temporarily until United dropped that 4 spot, they were at the top of the table.
Freaking West Ham, you couldn't have scored one or two goals.
Just to keep them there. And for a temporary bit of time, it was a team for the first time ever that was led by a former American international at the helm.
Yeah.
Only if Bob Bradley could have done it. But no, it was David Wagner, who is one of those quasi-Americans, as far as some of the people in the player pool currently would say.
What are you saying? Saying Tim Howard wouldn't want him on the squad?
No, probably not. Ironically, I was reading up a little bit on Wagner because I don't know a ton about him. I don't remember him playing for the team, even though that was kind of like the time frame.
He didn't have a million caps. Like, it was very limited, actually.
Yeah, it was actually not a whole lot at all, but it was something that I needed to look into a little bit more. And apparently Thomas Dooley, former Columbus Crew player and longtime Bundesliga player.
Old Dooley.
German-American himself, convinced him to come over. Like, was just, hey, why don't you come over and become an American? And I guess he has an American parent that helped out with that equation. But
that generally helps.
Yeah. But
that's a key component.
But yeah, I thought that was kind of a cool element. You know, an American coach team, and I'm doing air quotes around American here a little bit, sitting on top of the Premier League table. And for such a small club, I thought that was a cool achievement that will ultimately fade away very, very quickly. And did.
And it's gone.
Yeah.
But their, like, big money signing had a break. Mm-hmm. Like, that's Steve... is it Mooney? Mooney?
I think it's Mooney.
Mooney, Mooney?
Mooney, Mooney.
Well, he had a brace.
Mm-hmm.
So, guess that was money well spent.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. Shockingly, Southampton, Swansea. That was a 0-0 draw.
Yeah.
Who saw that coming?
No one.
And West Brom, Bournemouth, also a snooze fest. It was 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go, West Brom. You're still going down.
Yeah.
Man City 2, Brighton Hove Albion. Well, you gave it a go.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, held on as long as you could.
This is about how it's going to go for Brighton this year, I think.
Yeah, they don't look good.
No. But, hey,
glad to have them there. I mean, they're going to have their moments.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have their victories.
Yep.
Probably will beat Chelsea. Especially if, you know.
Happens anytime soon.
American youth are starting in the midfield.
Yeah, but City, you know, we kind of didn't group them into, like, the hot start, but that was the kind of start that they were needing as well.
Yeah. I feel like they should have done better.
I mean, they probably should have.
They're playing a team destined for relegation.
Probably their entire...
Aguero should have had, like, 9.
And their entire squad probably cost the same as what, like, you know, Kyle Walker cost.
Yeah.
So, good for City, though. Getting up into the ranks... Seeing them get City off that start.
City has players that cost more than the entire stadium, probably.
That's entirely true. Like, you look at their roster top to bottom, and, like, you could probably buy Brighton, like, several times over.
Yeah. Let's go kits.
Yeah, let's do kits. So, as we mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to give you our top picks for the 2018 season.
Mm-hmm.
We did get to see them out on the pitches today, so you can see them in natural light, not all these fancy Photoshops that everyone does and puts out these days.
CGI.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if you want to start. Yeah, why don't you give a start? What is, I don't know if you have your top three ranked?
I don't have them ranked.
Okay.
But I'll give you my first one. Spurs away.
That's a
good looking kit.
It's on my list too.
What makes it is what they did with the badge.
Mm-hmm.
The badge looks phenomenal.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar with what Tottenham did this year with these Nike kits, they placed their famous cockerel that has been their patch on its own,
otherwise known as
chicken,
cock rooster, on a ball.
Cock on a ball. They place it inside a shield, and that shield shape is actually a kind of a modernized version of what their crest looked like when they last won the league.
They essentially just won with, like, a silhouette,
mm-hmm.
as the fill is blue,
mm-hmm.
for that, keeping with the jersey.
Yep.
It's like a dark, like a navy blue, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, I guess, a kind of a white, kind of a cream trim.
I think it's just white.
Is it white? Probably, it looked a little darker, but okay.
Yeah. But it is, like, literally, the cockerel is a little different shape now than what it was in 61, but that's exactly what it looked like.
Slightly beefier.
Yeah. Yeah, it's streamlined now. The old one looked like a little drunk. So, but yeah, I absolutely love that kit. People hate on the Nike template, like, and Spurs are definitely in the Nike template.
We'll get to that in a moment.
But, man, it's just such a clean kit. I actually really love the home kit, too. My wife and I were literally debating today. Like,
I like it, too.
Okay, we're both going to get one. Which one are you going to get? Like, should we both get the same one? Should we be that nerdy husband-wife pair that have matching jerseys? And we have several of those, so we don't know that we need to do that again. But just that...
My wife doesn't own any jerseys. I feel like I need to change that now.
Your wife also doesn't like sports. So, like, now you have to buy one that you think would be fashion-y enough for your wife.
Don't they make, like the ladies' cuts on some of them?
Yeah, they do, but the ladies' cut ones always look really weird.
Are they?
Like, yeah, they always have, like, big dipping V-necks. It's like, have you ever seen the MLS ladies' cut jerseys?
Yeah.
They literally have, like, like plunging, enough so you can
plunging
see
V-neck.
Plunging V-neck so you can literally see cleavage through it. It's kind of like,
so it's like a Halloween costume.
Yeah, essentially.
It's like I have a soccer player. Like, you're a slutty soccer player.
That's right. Everyone likes the slutty whatever when it comes to Halloween time. It's the this. Of course, it's a Halloween costume because it's slutty.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. That makes sense then.
It's generally what Halloween's about.
I thought so.
Slutting up and
free candy,
bottle caps.
Yeah.
Best candy out there. Name a better candy. Exactly. What's your jersey? What's your best jersey here?
My best jersey.
Yeah. What's your favorite?
I don't know that.
Did
I
you rank them?
I don't think so. I pulled out my top three. Okay. Yeah. So I of course had the Spurs away in there as well. Really struggled not to just pick both Spurs kids. The other one that I really like kind of caught me by surprise. Hadn't seen it yet. Was Southampton's aways. They have these like navy and teal striped kits.
Yeah.
And then they also have the same colors as hoops on their socks. And it's just really, really clean.
That's there's always like a trend in like aways or third kits.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this year it's like these like blues.
Yeah.
Everyone's going with these like bright popping blues.
Mm-hmm. On a dark background. Yeah.
In fact, I'll give you one that I really like is Bournemouth went with, and I'm going with a very Cincinnati reference here.
Mm-hmm.
Smurf ice cream blue as their away kit.
Yes.
And if you look at it, you'll go, yep, that's
yeah,
the
color. Exactly what
that's
it
exactly
is.
That's exactly what that color is.
To explain the reference for those of you who are not from Cincinnati, Kings Island, it's an amusement park here mm-hmm. in town, used to have their kids area branded as Hanna-Barbera Land.
Right.
It has since switched several times, I think.
Yeah, it's just Cedar Fair, so it's all like Snoopy.
Yeah, which is meh. But do kids even know what Snoopy is anymore?
I don't think Snoopy is doing the rounds these days.
Anyway, the ice cream place that they had in this kids area had this amazing, and they still have the ice cream there. You can still get it. It's just not branded.
Had it 2 weeks ago.
It's not branded Smurf anymore, but this delicious blue soft serve ice cream. Mm-hmm. And that's the literal exact color.
Fun fact, my first job, slinging the blue ice cream at Kings Island.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm learning stuff about you. Tonight. I wasn't expect that.
But yeah, they went with like the really like, it's like blue and then there's like a darker blue for like the collar and everything. Yeah. The Bournemouth away, really nice.
Yeah, that was good. I think Arsenal have a similar colorway this year. It's like gray, a really dark charcoal gray and a light blue kind of tealy thing as well. But yeah, you're right. Like the last few years we had like...
Last year was like the gradient gray and black with like neon green.
Yeah.
Which like Chelsea, Arsenal, and someone else did.
And then a couple of years ago, like everyone had to have a neon yellow kit. Like it was an absolute necessity to have. And now it's moved on to this kind of dark with lightish blue accents.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So any other ones that really stood out for you?
You know, the Huddersfield home kit
mm-hmm.
is pretty hot. Also, that third kit they were rocking, I believe what is their third kit they were rocking this week. You know, black with some pink trim.
Yeah.
I like that combo.
Yeah, it really is like the reverse highlighter this year. Like it's mm-hmm. dark color mm-hmm. with bright color as yeah. accents. I think Ian Everton's aways this year might even be that the same way, but
they might.
The other one that really stood out for me, and this is me being like I love call outs to old things, kind of retro-y inspired kits. Manchester United's aways, the black Adidas ones that have that kind of like. I don't know. Like, I don't want to call it it's a gradient, like, kind of pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Yeah. Freaking love that. It's a call out to one of the kits they wore in the 90s back when they were still Adidas before they made the switch to Umbro and then ultimately to Nike and now back to Adidas. But
there's a lot of people crapping on that one.
Those are people that are losers. Like, I'm sorry if you don't like that. Yeah, but it is an amazing kit. And if you don't like it, then I don't like you.
Let's go glass half empty here. Let's go. What's sucked? I'll start. Liverpool is going with an orange third kit. It's just out of place.
It's really
it's not like
weird.
The design is bad mm-hmm. or that it's just a weird like it's just a bad looking jersey or the color is bad. Like just the color doesn't fit. Liverpool is red or they're you know and then their away is whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But orange is like just kind of like it's so close to red yet not red. Yeah. It just looks. Bizarre.
It's kind of like someone's like, I don't really feel like trying to think of another color.
Yeah. Like, What's kind of like red? Orange.
Yeah, like the the purpose of third kits, again, remember, it's supposed to be completely different than any of the other ones. So that way, if your first two kits clash with whoever you're playing from the other team, you have another option on the table.
Right.
That's not really another option because the orange is like, it's really close to that red.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought that was a really odd choice myself.
Yeah, it just doesn't, it just seems so out of place for them.
I'm going to, and I'm not picking this because of the team, but Arsenal's kits this year, I just really don't like the collar. Like, it was like the exact same jersey as last year, but the collar looks weird. The other United's home kit this year, I like. It's kind of got like a little mock collar and it has a button down.
Henley, I guess, is
Henley,
what they call that.
Henley button down. But it looked good when you had it buttoned up high. But then Mkhitaryan had his
had completely it flapping
on, and it was flapping about.
Like he was Pablo
Sandoval. Like, yeah, it looked like he was trying to wear that under a leisure suit. You know, like it was just a really weird look. Collars can make or break a jersey too. Like it's entirely in that realm.
Remember like the mid to late 2000s? It was all about like the tiny collar. Like the first Chelsea kit I ever bought was like a black one that had like the little mini collar.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You couldn't. It wasn't enough to like fold down, so it had to like stay up.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of how the United home kit is now too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, color is ruining it for me in a couple different places.
Another one I don't like is the Spurs away. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean the Chelsea away. They're the same thing.
Yeah.
The Spurs home and the Chelsea away are the same thing.
Yeah. I mean it is the Nike template. Dilemma here.
It's literally they just took the one patch and put the other one on.
Well, I think part of the equation too is like when you go to England and particularly with these London clubs, they kind of have such iconic like colorways. Like Chelsea, their blue jersey, blue shorts, white socks.
Yep.
Spurs are white, navy, white. Like it's just that's what they wear. And so when Nike comes in and they kind of specialize in that simplicity type kit. It was destiny for us to end up with a bunch of kids that look exactly the same now. So, yeah, I agree with you. The Chelsea away one is the one that rubbed me. Like, for whatever reason, I didn't like the Chelsea away one, but still like the Spurs home one. Like, it's just, it's weird.
And I like Chelsea's home. It's growing on me. It's very plain, which I like plain. I like clean. I think what saves it actually is the just that tone of blue is actually like very different. It's a different tone of blue than they've gone with before, and I like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, what else? What else sucks?
I didn't really spend a whole lot of time myself picking ones I didn't like because I really feel like for the most part,
fun to live in the negative.
It is fun to live in the negative. Like Brighton's home kit, while I like the blue and white stripes, it just there's something about it that just kind of seems very off the shelf. Which is, again, unfair because we just got done talking about Spurs and Chelsea who have almost essentially the exact same kit.
Nike
we haven't even talked at all about City who are effectively wearing the exact same jersey they wore last year. It's just slightly tweaked.
Yeah.
But yeah, we saw I don't know. I think this year on the whole, jerseys are better than what they've been.
I got one more that sucks.
Okay.
The Everton thirds. I don't like them.
Ugh. Oh, yeah, sorry, I don't even know what they look
like. They essentially look like an Inter Milan kit with like a weird yellow trim to it.
Okay, that is weird.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
We did posit the question to our fans, and ironically, the Everton third is one of the first ones that rolled up from Melvin Dillon. But we wanted to know, hey, guys, what ones didn't you like? And I kind of expanded it because, you know, people will probably have other jerseys they dislike. But you're going to really dislike one of the ones that Dan Stafer suggested. I'm just going to show you one of the jerseys. This is outside of the Premier League, but they said this is one of the biggest abominations of the season.
How dare you? How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you?
We are, of course, talking about the Wycombe Wanderers goalkeeper kit that has some sort of kaleidoscope-y design.
It's actually, there's science behind it. That the striker's eyes will be drawn to it. Therefore, their shot will go more at the keeper.
Do you know where that idea was originated from? Like, who came up with that?
A scientist?
Well, maybe. But the first goalkeeper I remember using that strategy was Jorge Campos.
Yeah.
And his crazy designs. He literally came up with those as a means of trying to distract the opposing strikers. So,
We're bringing that back.
I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna disagree with Dan. I freaking love that jersey. Like
I might buy it.
I don't think there's any reason you shouldn't.
That's called $70 well spent. Is what I'm looking at right there.
No American has spent more on Wickham Wanderers gear than you, sir.
And proud of it. Yeah. Here's that Everton third. Doesn't it just look like an Inter Milan?
Yeah, it's kind of like purple and black. It's a really weird combination. Again, flirting along those lines of like, is it really that different from your home kit? Some of the other ones that we saw, Gage Magoto flashed up. I think this is Sporting Club de Portugal. It's kind of a black and neon yellow affair.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with those lines. There's just random thickness to the line.
Gage explained it perfectly. He said, I don't think this jersey has finished loading yet.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like it's still pixelated, you know?
There's portions of the lines that aren't fully filled in.
Yeah, it is. It's an odd one.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Some other jerseys that were thrown out that are not in the in the Premier League, Brian Griffin offered up Charleston Battery's 25th special edition kit, which I'm pretty sure is the same one as our third kit in FC Cincinnati. And if that's the case, what are you saying, Brian?
You maybe have something mocked up just for you.
Yeah, absolutely. We did see a couple other ones that were thrown out actually from the Premier League. My buddy Nick Farmold offered up the new Barcelona kit with Coutinho on the back is horrific.
He might not like that.
Yeah.
I would like Liverpool to get his fan. Thoughts on the there's a lot of opinion about the Liverpool away.
Mm-hmm.
That quarter panel thing.
Yeah, the white, it's kind of white and kind of like a greenish.
Yeah, greenish like lines.
The thing I actually kind of like that. It's different.
I think it looks cool.
But what's weird is like there's a little V of white under the collar that intersects into
the
green on one of the quarter panels. And it's kind of like, why did they do that? Did they mean to leave that? Symmetry. Oh man, someone accidentally left an extra layer on the Photoshop when they
were like, oops.
Ooh, dang it. And they actually made it. We're stuck with it now. But some of the other ones that we saw, Danny Lang offered up, he does not like Manchester United's third jersey. So there's one of the people that was that is no longer my friend. The Legion, that's the college-based FC Cincinnati supporters group, does not like, they just wrote Stoke City, so I'm going to assume that it's all of them.
Yeah, the Stoke City ones weren't great. I actually almost put their entire catalog down.
Yeah.
It was just not. Eh.
Eric Kirby offered up Liverpool's thirds. He says he described it pretty well. Construction cone orange.
Yeah. Yep.
He did say that the first kit is excellent. I would agree with him. The Liverpool first kit is pretty good this year.
Liverpool, remember they had that weird stint when it was technically Warrior Branding. It's the same company.
Mm-hmm.
They're still with the same company. It's all been folded into New Balance.
Yes.
But Warrior Brand put out some shockers those first couple of years where they like literally couldn't even get the home kit right, which is like very difficult to do.
Yeah.
You have to try to screw up a classic red kit.
And they did.
Yep.
So thanks to everyone who submitted their options across and their dislikes. We'll be seeing more of these out on the pitch here in the weeks to come, and I'm sure we'll offer up some further opinions.
All right, let's wrap it up by going stateside first. A couple topics to throw out there, a couple things going on. Let's start with the fact that Paul Areola is now with DC United, and DC United tried to have his debut, but the heavens opened and RFK flooded.
Literally flooded.
Like the tunnels to like out to the pitch from like the locker rooms were like literally had 3.5 feet of water.
Yeah, it was insane. Also a bit of a sign of what's going on at RFK.
Drowning.
Literally drowning. Sinking.
The team is also drowning right now.
Yeah, they're not doing all that well. But yeah, it's a dead big
last.
Move.
Dead freaking last.
Big move by them to bring in Paul Areola, a fabulous player, obviously, really player. In the American player pool.
Playing for a Tijuana side that was also floundering horribly.
Yeah. So I'm sure he was happy to get out of there, but maybe not.
Same colors too, red and black.
That's true. That's a really good point. The other thing, they sent Lamar Nagel back to Seattle, which I think like literally
or in return for like an
orange
like,
construction cone.
Yeah. Do you have like a set of pennies we can have?
Yeah.
Wear light on those.
Can we maybe get some police tape to like section off the areas of the stadium that are still, you know, underwater?
Do you have a shop vac we can borrow?
We'll just take that. That would work for us. So yeah, that was a big move on their part. It was kind of the busiest American transfer window I can really think of. They were just
kind of wild, yeah.
People going all over the place.
Ethan Finley is not with the Crew anymore.
I know, that was a weird one, but he's kind of fallen out of favor. Yeah, he wasn't getting his routine of minutes, and he's a Minnesota guy, so
sort of. He was born in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
He spent his grown up years, like any smart person in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Slightly better, huh?
Yeah. So Crew, yeah, had himself a bit of a week. So they trade Finley.
Mm-hmm.
And then they actually get a really big win against Chicago.
Yeah.
Beating them 3-1. Justin Merrim gets his 10th goal. It is actually the club's 1,000th goal in club history.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. You don't think about how long it takes to, like, trip a record like that.
Yeah.
And you know, apparently it's 22 years. So, but yeah, big moment for the Crew, a team that's really struggled for consistency this year. They've looked like world beaters at times, and then they've looked like the people who get beaten up by the entirety of the world.
They brought in some Portuguese guy.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like he'll be good.
I don't know anything about him.
I never heard of him.
Played
for Braga, I believe.
Hey, who have one of the coolest stadiums on the planet.
Oh, yeah? I haven't seen this.
It's literally built in an old quarry. And so, like, there's a huge rock wall that is...
Oh, no way.
Oh, it's amazing. Like, definitely wow. On my bucket list of places to go check
out. He's going to have a... Bit of a rude awakening.
Crew Stadium is not, or excuse me, Mafra isn't exactly that. So yeah, that was.
Have you played in an Erector set before?
I've played on that field, so I know exactly what it's like. Another big name making their way into the league, Jonathan Dos Santos, the brother of Giovanni Dos Santos, coming and joining an LA team that are on fire in the absolute worst possible way.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really struggling out in LA. They are in very real threat of missing the playoffs for the first time in a long time.
Already fired a coach.
Brought in Siggy Schmidt.
Heard of him.
He's done some stuff in the league.
Yeah.
So.
Won a cup in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Then went to Seattle.
And wore a bunch of scars awkwardly. And got,
you know, didn't get to make it to the promised land with them. No. Got almost there.
Almost there.
And then they're like, nope, not going to be you.
It's going to be this guy. It's going
to be this guy that looks like a... English lit professor.
Yeah. So that was a big move in. A couple of the other names that we've seen floating around, just some trades. There's just a lot of player movement. Obviously, Don Dwyer went a couple weeks ago now.
That was a big deal.
Down to Orlando. We haven't talked about MLS at all yet this season, so it's worth making that mention. But it was just a really, really active window, and it was kind of – fun because it felt like transfer deadline day a little bit for MLS. We don't necessarily get that excitement every year. So that was kind of cool. But I think a lot of that got overshadowed by VAR. Like, it has been a rough go for VAR.
Not good.
On its post MLS All-Star Game debut. Let's talk about the most high profile of them and one that actually happened last night.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the sending off of Kaká.
For
grabbing someone's face.
Yeah.
It was actually a bit of a joke. He grabbed former teammate Aurelien Collins' face while another play had just wrapped up and there was another card that was ultimately going to be issued as well. But he kind of grabbed him from behind and held his face, and it was kind of a weird grab. Like, Collins was mad at first until he turned around and saw that it was his old teammate.
Borderline sensual.
Mm-hmm. And then big smiles transpired, and then,
hey,
like,
we're boys.
Yeah, we're boys, and everyone, like, was cool. And then what transpired after that is, so they were reviewing another, like, the foul that started the fracas.
Uh-huh.
And whether or not someone should get a yellow card on that front. That did happen. They did confirm that. They gave a guy the yellow card.
Slightly odd, because I thought that was actually not reviewable.
Yeah, I thought
only red cards were
maybe
reviewable.
Maybe they were making the argument
that
it could have been red. I don't really know. But what really got weird is that he showed the yellow card to two guys, right?
Like, hey, you get a yellow, you get a yellow.
Yep. And then,
oh, by the way,
here's a red card for Kaká. And Kaká's like, wait.
You're kidding, right?
Wait, what?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
What? Hold on a minute. Wait, I'm going off? And he's like, yeah, he grabbed you by the face. And they're like...
Hands to face, by the letter of the law.
It is sending off. Absolutely.
Sending off.
VAR is supposed to eliminate these types of things, right?
Yes.
That's the whole purpose of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you follow the letter of the law, like, yeah, that would technically be a sending off. But you also, as a referee, aren't just going by the letter of the law. You're interpreting the situation. You're looking at what's happening outside of it. It was clearly a playful moment, an awkward playful moment.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have.
No.
Like, it shouldn't have happened at all.
Nope.
So now we've created a situation where VAR is literally getting things wrong. And the point of the system is for it to not get things wrong anymore.
It's the safety net. Like, hey, if we get this wrong, don't worry. We got VAR to make everything right.
Oh, yeah. By the way, it's going to screw things up.
It's also going to screw things up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
FC Dallas have had two goals called back by VAR now, which things just aren't going very well for the system in its early days in implementation in Major League Soccer.
So. Before we get to winners and wankers, we have to mention one other player that came into MLS.
Mm.
But he's not going to be playing anytime soon because the team isn't actually real yet.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
Really just a lifestyle brand at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But LAFC has Carlos Villa brought in to join Bob Bradley as the only two front-facing members of the organization.
Yeah, and it was a weird, like...
I guess, Will Ferrell.
Yeah, I can't remember... Where Bela is playing right now. Is he playing at Real Sociedad?
Celta Vigo.
Maybe that's right, yeah. So they announced that he was leaving, but he's also going to play there through, like, January.
But, like, right now he's in the middle, because their season hasn't started yet.
Yeah.
Right now he's just doing, public appearances.
Yeah.
In that cool LAFC hat.
And
Bob
jacket.
Bradley. Dressed like a member of the Beastie Boys in that track jacket and flat bill.
It is a pretty cool track jacket and flat bill hat, though.
I mean, like, he is. And for a middle-aged man, he is rocking it well.
Yeah. So people keep making the joke, like, we've seen this decline in the Mexican national team over the last few years, and it's because all their players keep coming and playing in MLS.
Do all of them come?
No. Because
literally just...
I think there's like four.
One guy.
Yeah.
Like
totally four.
Dos Santos and now his brother and now Villa.
Don't forget about Cubo Torres.
Oh, yeah. So I forgot we're talking about Gold Cup roster.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. So, yeah, but a big grab for LAFC, a huge name, but fabulous player who's had a great career in Europe. Busy season here in domestic soccer land. Should we move into winners and wankers then?
Winners and wankers. My winner, everybody, soccer's back.
Like,
it's just so good. Like, it's back. We get it every week. We get to, like, hang out with people. I mean, I got so excited. I went to go hang out with a bunch of Arsenal fans and watch a match. Like, it's just so good to have it back.
That's almost sacrilegious.
It was actually kind of enjoyable as a neutral to just, like, be there. And, like, I'm not living and dying with every moment. Like, I'm just there having a beer.
Yeah.
Chatting with people.
Yeah. By the way, I almost want to give you a wanker for going on in such an easy route for your winner this week.
You might need to. Honorable mention, me.
Yeah. My winner this week, I literally could have picked like nine wankers too, because there's just an endless line of people who deserved it. My winner this week, I'm going to Twitter, and actually both of mine came directly from Twitter this week.
Oh, boy.
Former Southampton legend Matt Le Tissier had an absolutely incredible dig, kind of at his old club and the players who come and ultimately leave there. They signed a new player named Mario Lemina, and he says, "Welcome to Southampton FC, Mario Lemina, and good luck on your move, on your next move to Liverpool next year." Cry face emoji and a wink.
Like, alrighty.
All right, club ambassador. Really appreciate that you're pushing that narrative along for us, but it was an awesome little dig at the way that Southampton kind of run their player personnel issues. How about your wanker this week?
Rafa Márquez. Apparently, he is part of the drug cartel.
I said this on Twitter the other day.
Holy crap.
Are you really surprised?
Yeah, okay. I mean, just... if you were to tell me, hey, a member of the Mexican national team has ties to a drug cartel, ties so strongly that he will actually get sanctioned by the U.S. at some point.
Potentially even extradited and sent to prison.
And I would go, probably Rafa.
Just doesn't seem beyond him, does it?
Right.
First
I would be like, hey, wait. Are we talking all time? Is Blanco still in the fold?
Yeah, right.
Didn't Blanco try to get somebody killed recently?
I know he ran for like mayor.
And I think he tried to get like a political opponent killed recently.
I mean, that's just par for the course in Mexico. Oh. So, my wanker this week, staying on Twitter, I'm giving it to FC Dallas's social media manager who decided to put up this gem and eventually and wisely taking it down. This is a name that'll be very familiar to those who follow NFL football. I really don't follow NFL at all.
I'm going
to
give you like the, Yeah.
And for those of our listeners who are big Ohio State fans, also a name that will ring a bell. Dallas Cowboys. He's a running back, right? I want to make sure I get that part right.
He is.
Dallas Cowboys, now second year running back, Ezekiel Elliott, who was a sensation last year.
Yeah, not going to get play most of the, half of the second year.
Just got a 6-game suspension for domestic abuse claims from his ex-girlfriend. I do find that a little weird. Like, that's a few years in the past now. And I think he was cleared of the charges, but it also happened in Columbus.
Cleared-ish.
It happened in Columbus where those people walk on water and, you know, that's what happens. But he did get handed a 6-game suspension by the NFL. And the FC Dallas Twitter account put out this. Yo, Ezekiel Elliott, we've got 6 games for you. And then showed, like, their next 6 opponents. Like, are you really?
That's a lot.
Are you really insinuating that you'll take on the guy who was just suspended for domestic abuse?
A, you'll take him on. B, you think he would actually be able to play soccer?
I mean, I think it was a joke, C, obviously, right?
C, like, it's just low-hanging fruit to a level. It's just like, you be more creative.
Yeah.
Be more creative.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm glad they deleted it, like. As someone who runs a team social media account, like, I totally get it.
How many times have you had to delete a tweet? Because you were like, oop, no, that didn't work.
I've only had one like that. I did have another one that was deleted for another reason because of some things that unfolded that ultimately made it not necessary to have up anymore. But the only other time I did that was a Crosstown Shootout here in Cincinnati. Is a really big deal. It's between UC and Xavier, University of Cincinnati Xavier. One of the most intense college basketball rivalries in the country. FC Cincinnati plays at University of Cincinnati in their football stadium. And we have many fans that attend both colleges or current fans or current college students at both places. So I tried to play the middle of the road. Be like, hey, who's excited for the game tonight? Here's a Twitter poll. Who are you rooting for? And I put, like, you know, UC colors, Xavier colors, then, you know, neither, you know, FC Cincinnati colors. But the way I worded it was, like, we're not picking sides in tonight's Crosstown Shootout. And, like, everyone from UC rightly piled on me.
You
like,
why aren't you picking sides?
Go play at Xavier's football stadium. Which Xavier doesn't have a football
team.
Doesn't have a football team. And I, about 20 minutes later, took that one down. Like, it bombed, and rightly so. But, hey, these things happen. But at least I didn't offer a guy who would domestic abuse someone a spot on our team. So,
hey, OJ.
Yeah.
He'll be free in October.
Look, want to change sports up? We'll get you some new memorabilia to steal back from people in hotels. That gets us to the end of Winners and Wankers. And, of course, the end of this week's show.
Hooray.
Yeah, if you want to get a hold of us, you want to get your name on this show, get your 15 minutes of fame, like the podcast equivalent of being on the Jumbotron, shoot us questions, topics you want to talk about, get involved in our question of the week. You can reach Jeremy at Jeremy Lance on Twitter. You can reach me at Wrong Side of Pond. You can get us via email, contact@wrongsideofthepond. We also have a form on the website that you can fill out if you really want to do that.
Also, if you were wondering, is Josu going back to the Blasters?
Growl Blasters.
You want to send those tweets to @FC Cincinnati.
No, please don't. They have died down, at least. They have died down. But thanks for listening in. If you haven't yet, go give us a nice review.
Yeah.
On
give us your
on
honest,
Apple.
Honest 5-star review.
Mm-hmm. And let everyone know that this is your favorite podcast.
All right, folks.
See you.
Bye.